Good to see you guys. Y'all doing all right? Are y'all okay? Good. Any veterans in the house? Come on, y'all stand up. Can we give them a hand? Today is Veterans Day. We want to honor them for their service. Thank you for your service. Thank you for who you are and what you've done. We appreciate you guys. Y'all can have a seat. I'm standing because, I too served in the Postal Service. I know, not even close. It's good to see everybody. We're starting a new series today. And if you don't know me, my name is Todd. I'm the pastor. I just want to welcome you and say, I'm excited that you're here. And I say it all the time. I usually say it at the end. But after that worship set, talking about first love and that God's with us and that his presence is with us and that we're believing for miracles, that I can say this, the best is yet to come. And I firmly believe that. And so today we're looking at dollars and cents and understanding the economy of God. And we're talking about money, but maybe not in the way that you think. My heart is that you can recognize that, number one, God has a purpose and a plan for you that's way bigger than your billfold, always. And yet Jesus spent an awful lot of time talking about money. And I want us to understand how the economy of God operates. Because there's a lot of catchphrases that we hear about the economy of the world. The economy of the world, how about this? Money makes the world go round. Have y'all heard that? Come on, y'all got to talk back to me. How about there's no such thing as a free lunch? Y'all heard that? No dough, no go. No money, no honey. And the golden rule, he who has the gold makes all the rules. It's kind of true, isn't it? In the economy of the world, it is. I love what Zig Ziglar said. He said, money won't make you happy, but everybody wants to find out for themselves. Isn't that true? See, the economy of the world is all about getting things for yourself. But the economy of God, when it comes to both money and really satisfaction and fulfillment and purpose, are way different. The book of Proverbs says this, those who trust in their riches will fall. Greed brings grief to the whole family. It also says, a good reputation with people is better than much money. A poor but blameless man is better off than a rich but perverse man. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. Wisdom more important than gold and silver. It's contrary to what the world says is important because it's constantly chasing that next paycheck, that next payoff, that next dollar. Jesus put it this way when he starts talking about the economy of the kingdom of God, because once again, the economy of the kingdom of God is not built on dollars and cents. The economy of the kingdom of God is truly built on faith. The currency of the kingdom of God is not the US dollar or gold or silver. The currency of the kingdom of God is faith. I mean, there's some denominations of those bills, like the $100. Like we know the US dollar is our currency. And what's the highest denomination that you normally see? $100 bill, right? So if faith is the currency of God, like what's the $100 bill in the kingdom of God? Probably love. What's the 50? Probably wisdom. What's the 20? Probably diligence. See, there's a difference between the economy of the world and the economy of God. And I want you to get that because we're going to have to choose which economy we live in. Now, here's the reality. Do we all live in the economy of the world? Yeah, I mean, nobody's like going and giving you like 5-star meals for free, are they? If you're lucky, you're going to find somebody to give you like some soup or something for free. Maybe. I had gumbo last night at Jared and Melody's house, our worship leader and music director. It was really great gumbo, and it was free, except I brought, my wife baked some homemade cookies, and I made deviled eggs for the first time, and they were good. Can I tell you, we're going to have to choose, though, which one we base our value system on. Do I live by the value system of the world or do I live by the value system of God? Jesus says this, if you want to be the greatest of all, to be the servant of all. If you want to be the first, be the last. And then he says crazy things like, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This is contrary to how the economy of the world operates because it is based on return. What returns to me? I want something for me. What is my ROI? What does that stand for? Y'all know what the ROI stands for? Return on investment. If I invest time, what's my return? If I invest money, what's my return? If I invest resources, what's my return? See, the economy of God is a little different because it's not so concerned about your return because the economy of God truly is built on faith. Don't y'all love that cold weather? I'm glad you brought jackets because I'm pretty sure it's invading this space. My hands probably won't turn to ice and fall off, but it's all right. So here's the thing. We are going to have to come to a crossroads of which economy will be my value system. Will I live God's way or the world's way? I had to come to a crossroads of faith. 8 years old, I didn't really know anything other than I knew, like somebody told me, my parents, my pastor told me who God was, that he loved me. I knew that there were some things that I did wrong. And I remember very clearly, 8 years old, at a very traditional church. I don't remember what the pastor preached, but I knew at that moment, God had his finger on my heart and he called me to him. And at 8 years old, I walked up in front of a bunch of people and surrendered my heart and life to him. That was a crossroads. At 14 years old in our youth group, I remember God speaking to me. I really didn't even know what that was. I just knew that there was this, that something was happening on the inside of me and that God was dealing with me. And he said something like this. I just knew it. In a moment when we're about to go on a mission in Jennings, like the Jennings needs missions, we know that. And so I was with all of our youth group, all like eight of us, and we're gonna go into the parking lots and tell people about God's love. And I didn't wanna do it at all. And my mama was making me, that's the truth. And at 14 years old, I'm grabbing hands with those other six people, and I felt like the Lord just said, this is what you're gonna do for me forever. It was a crossroads. I had to decide if I was gonna embrace that. And in that moment, I did. But I went on to college, planning to go to medical school, follow in family tradition. And at 20 years old, in a moment, I came to another crossroads. And I had to decide, was I going to fulfill the call of God on my life? Not knowing what it was, by the way. Or was I going to do what I wanted to do? And I walked away from medical school. I walked right into the postal service. Then into teaching school. And then it's teaching in another school, just following God. Lord, I came to that crossroads and I chose your way, and it doesn't seem like it's taking me anywhere. And then at 23 years old, I ended up as a children's pastor at a brand new church. Truthfully, I was the janitor and the grounds guy because the church didn't have a lot of people, but somebody had donated 30 acres and 52,000 square feet of dilapidated buildings that I was responsible for. For 8 years, I was children's pastor. I'd made that decision. That crossroads was made. I made the decision to honor God, and I was making, oh gosh, until 2 years before we planted the church, my salary was $25,000 a year. Wasn't a lot. And I was happy to do it. It was some of the best years of my life. And then at 30 years old, God called us to plant a church here. That was a crossroads. When you serve God long enough, though, you will come to a crossroads about how you handle money. You just will. How do you handle your money? Are you a good steward of your money? What does that look like? What does it say about that? And here's my heart. My heart is, I want you to have a heart for God's word. Because here's what I learned at the crossroads of my life. Can I just share three quick things that I learned at the crossroads of my life? Here's the first thing that I learned. God's word can be trusted. God's word can be trusted. This is what I learned. You can trust God's word. You can. I'm just gonna say it again because you need to hear it. You can trust God's word. At 8 years old, he put his finger on my heart and I answered, I trusted him. At 14 years old, I trusted him. At 20 years old, I walked away from a great career. I was about to go to med school, and God said, no, don't do it. At 30 years old, I left comfort to come to something I didn't know. Let me tell you, all because God spoke to me, and I came to a crossroads. God's word can be trusted. This is what you need to know at your crossroads. God's word can be trusted, but here's the second thing that you've got to learn, that God's word must first be tested before you're gonna trust it. The only way that you're gonna find out that it's true or not is when you put it to the test. And so many people don't have a deep faith in God. They say, Lord, I believe your word, but they don't trust his word because they've actually never put it into practice and never tested it. Does this make sense? Because y'all are really quiet. At the crossroads of your life, this is what you'll learn when you choose God's way, that God's word can be trusted, but you will learn that God's word must first be tested. So many people never get to the place where they can truly trust God's word because they don't put it to the test. But when you put God's word to the test, here's what you find. God's word can be trusted, and God's word will always show you the next step. I never thought that the next steps, all of those steps that I didn't understand, you want me to walk away from med school? You want me to carry mail? I was a mail carrier. You want me to carry mail? I loved it. It was great. Walked 13 miles a day. It was a walking route. And I loved it. And then God opened a door. It's amazing. Each step, he didn't show me the big plan. If you'd have told me 15 years ago or 10 years ago that I'd be like, what? No way. But God knows the purpose and plan that he has for us. I want you to be able to trust him. Look at what Jesus says about money in Matthew 6, 19 through 34. And by the way, if you're new here, ask somebody who's been here a long time how often I talk about money. Do I talk about it often? No. And honestly, I should, because Jesus talked about it so much, and it's such a good indicator of where our heart is. Jesus says this, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moth and rust can't destroy and thieves don't break in and steal. For wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Can we look at that? We have the next verse. And the next verse. The desires of your heart will be where your treasure is, the desires of your heart. Jesus is talking about your heart. And this is what I want you to get. What your treasure is determines where your treasure is. What your treasure is, listen to me carefully. What your treasure is determines where it is. Where's your treasure? I don't know. You tell me what your treasure is. Is your treasure, is it at the office? Because you're working hard, because that's where your focus is, because that's what you're looking to is your source of fulfillment and satisfaction. That's what you're looking to is your source of trust. Is it the office? Is it your job site? What is it? Is it your neighborhood? Come on, you ought to come see my house, because my house is something. Is your house your treasure? Maybe it's just sitting in the garage. You got to come and see, you got to check this out. Check it out. Because what you set your heart on, what you set your mind on is going to determine what your treasure is. What is your treasure? I put a ring on my treasure. That may not be a bad deal, is it? Come on, y'all know. You better put a ring on it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Let me, the only thing in life that is eternal, and I want you to get this. The only thing in life that is eternal, the only thing you take with you is relationship. What's your treasure? Well, it's gonna show you where your treasure is. Where's your treasure? So this whole passage of scripture in Matthew 6 is such an amazing passage of scripture saying, don't store up treasure in heaven, on earth, store it in heaven. And then he jumps to in verse 22 and 23 to this really seemingly when you read, like we're gonna read Matthew 6, 19 through 34. But when you look at it like 19 through 21, it says, don't store up treasure on earth, store it up in heaven. And then after verse 23, starting in verse 24, he starts talking about serving money and then don't worry. But there's this weird section in here, verses 22 and 23. This is what it says. It says, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. So let me just read this. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. That's verse 21, verse 22. So he's talking about treasure. Y'all following me? I want you to get this. If you're following along in the Bible, then you can see this. If you got it on the, if you don't have an app on your phone, pull up the YouVersion app, download it, pull up the Bible, because it goes from verse 21, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. And then Jesus shifts gears and it's weird. He says, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. What you talking about? You was just talking about the heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. And then he says, your eye is like the lamp that provides light for your body. Is it just me or does that strike you as a little odd? Okay, I'm alone in that. That's all right. Doesn't that seem a little weird? Like, are we gonna shift gears for like two verses? When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is? What is he talking about? He's talking about the fact that whatever you set your eyes on the most in your heart, there's your treasure. What does that mean? That means, what are you focused on? What are you focused on? It's amazing to me the number of people that I've talked to that think that they're right with God because they drop money in an offering plate. And thank y'all for doing that. That's awesome. I appreciate it. That's great. We get to reach a lot of people doing that. That is not what makes you right with God. And that is not what pleases God. What pleases God is when we are storing up treasure in heaven because our heart is right. And if our heart is right, we're going to set our eyes on things that please him. Do I make any sense here? Man, and my heart is that we get that. We live that. Because here's what you need to know is that money is a test. Money's a test. Jesus says this the next verse. After he talks about the heart, after he talks about the eyes, they're related. And that portion in verse 23 where he says, if the light you think you have is actually darkness. In other words, if you're focused more on the economy of this world than the economy of the kingdom, maybe you're still walking in darkness in some areas of your life. To me, that's scary for me. I'm not saying that condemningly to anyone. I'm going, Lord, what am I setting my eyes on? Because let me tell you, where I am focused affects my heart. Does that make sense to you guys? Where am I setting my focus? And then Jesus puts it this way in verse 24. He says, no one can serve two masters, for you'll hate the one and you'll love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both God and money. You have to choose. You have to choose. There is a crossroads that you will have to come to with money. Where do I place my trust? Where do I find my security? Where do I find fulfillment, satisfaction? That is what it's talking about. Now let's just ask this question. I'm just gonna ask this question. Is money evil? Come on, is money evil? No. So many people think that, well, money is, the Bible says that the root of evil, that money is the root of evil. No, it doesn't. No, not at all. It says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is amoral. Is it okay to have money? Is it okay to use money? Is it okay to enjoy money? Yes, says everybody who bought a ticket to the Powerball that was, what, 1.6 billion. Yeah. That's acceptable. But what is not acceptable is when we trust money more than we trust God. Here's the question that you'll have to answer in regards to money. Who's my source? Where does my security come from? Who's my source of provision? If it's you, you're gonna run yourself ragged. You're gonna be stressed to the max because you're constantly worrying about the future, about provision. So here's the truth I want you to get. God is opposed to us trusting in riches instead of trusting in him. You hear me? God is opposed. He's opposed to us trusting in riches instead of trusting in him. Is it wrong to have money? No. Is it wrong to have riches and be rich? No. But here's where we can, in our heart, cross the line with money. When it becomes our source of security. When it becomes our source of provision. It's a big deal. I just want to remind you that money is a wonderful servant. Money helps you to pay the bills. Car note, rent, house note, food. Is money a good thing in your life? Let's just be honest. If you had a little bit more money, would you be complaining? No, nobody's going to complain. Oh man, I got a $30,000 check yesterday. God, I don't know. Let's just be honest. Come on, can we be real today? Can we be transparent? Are you going to complain if somebody gives you a $30,000 check? No strings attached. Here's 30 grand. Would you be happy with that? You should be. There's nothing wrong with that. But here's what we have to recognize. The tactic of the enemy is to get you to trust that check, that paycheck, that payoff, more than you trust God. The version that I put in my notes says, you cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Are you a slave to money? There's like this line. Like, here's the reality. Most people are just at most a couple paychecks away from like looking for a place to live. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? And so if you're not careful, the lie of the enemy will begin to penetrate your brain. And you become a slave to paying that next bill. For years, my wife and I, we'd sit down, we'd do a budget. It got depressing. At one season, we did no budget. Not because we weren't good stewards of the money. In fact, we did everything cash for a long, long time with little folders, the Dave Ramsey method. Because when we put pen to paper, it was very depressing. Because our income was like here, but our expenses were like here. That's not the way you want it. And we didn't do a budget because it depressed us. And we lived by cash. We have this much money for gasoline. We cannot spend more in this. Lord, please may the fuel prices go down so that we can go to Chick-fil-A. Actually, didn't have Chick-fil-A even then. It wasn't a thing. Not a big one anyway. Like, do y'all know what I'm... can y'all relate? Come on. I'm just going to be honest. Never did it freak me out. My wife would have a tendency to get freaked out sometimes. But remember, I was on the other side of some crossroads. I was on the other side of some crossroads where I trusted God with my life. Money is simply an indicator of how you live your life. I'm not talking whether or not you have a lot of it or you have a little bit of it. I'm talking about how you use your money. It's an indicator of how you live and what you value. That's all it is. It's an indicator of how you live and what you value. People think that my wife and I are kind of crazy because we don't have internet. We don't have Wi-Fi. We don't have cable television. We have bunny ears. I just don't care about that stuff. And the fact that it'd be really, really expensive to come out in the country and I can hardly get it. I've looked into getting Wi-Fi in some way that I can at least have some internet access because also have terrible cell service. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter that much because it's just not what we value. Maybe you value like a high-speed internet connection. Is there anything wrong with that? No. All it is an indicator. I'm not so much on movies. I'd much rather read a book. I'm not a media person. My kids are very restricted on media. My 15-year-old, soon to be 16, going to be driving, still doesn't have a phone. It's just not what we value. This makes sense. But it's an indicator for each of us when we look at money, what we value. And it is a test on how we value God's kingdom and his economy versus the world's economy and the kingdom of this world. Are you guys following me? So, how do you know if you're passing the money test? Because money is a test. Are you enslaved to it or not? Do you trust God more than you trust money, or do you trust money and your sense of security and maybe even your identity is in money and stuff rather than in who you are because God's spoken to you? How do you know if you're, would you like to know how you've, if you're passing the money test? You ready? Y'all don't seem real enthused about that. Do you want to know if you're passing the test with money? Do you? Okay, it's really simple. Here's the first one. How do you know if you're passing the money test? Number one, you don't worry. You don't worry. And not just about money, because look at what Jesus says. We're going to read this whole passage. It's not going to take really long, but it's a lot of verses. You ready? This is why I tell you, Jesus speaking, this is the next verse. That's why he says, don't store up treasures in heaven. What are you looking at? Because that's probably going to be like where your heart is. Listen, are you enslaved to money? Don't do that. And then he says this. That's why I'm telling you, don't worry about everyday life. Everybody say everyday life. You ready? Everyday life. How do you know if you're passing the money test? You don't worry, period. Not about money. Like, you don't worry. Jesus goes on to say, whether you have enough food and drink, enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Time out. Wait a minute. Is Jesus saying that we should be like the birds and just trust him for everything? Yes. Does it mean that we should just sit around and be lazy and not diligent and work? No. We'll talk about that next week. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for their heavenly Father, your heavenly Father, feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Yes, you are. Can all your worries, verse 27, add a single moment to your life, let's just stop here for a moment. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? No, medical evidence has proven over and over, it takes your life away. It shortens your life physically. You're gonna die early if you worry all the time. And you're gonna be stressed out and miserable, and you're gonna make everybody else around you miserable, and you're gonna be known as a Debbie Downer. Do you really want that? Okay, no condemnation here. How many of you will be, you'll be honest today and you'll say, sometimes I worry a lot. Thank you. No. is it easy to have to give into that temptation to worry? Is it? Come on. It is, isn't it? That's why this passage of scripture is so important, because this is what Jesus says. Why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, he will certainly care for you. God cares for you. You don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. If you trust him, and you follow him, and you take the next step, Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Remember the crossroads? God's word can be trusted. You're gonna have to put it to the test. And when you do, he's gonna show you the next step. Listen, I am far from what I think make me consider a raving success, because my life has been filled with stupidity and failure in a lot of areas. But this I've found, in spite of all of my stupidity and failures. Okay, God, forgive me, the people around me, forgive me. That was really dumb. That was all me. My bad. Totally me. But Lord, I believe your word. God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for progress and for faith. Lord, I believe your word. I'm putting it to the test. What's the next step? Carry mail. That's odd. I have a degree in English and history. Might as well be a mail carrier. Makes perfect sense. Disappointment to my family, maybe, but all right, let me take it. He will care for you. Then the big question, why do you have so little faith? Worry is a lack of faith. I'm gonna let that sit with you because it's uncomfortable. Worry's a lack of faith. Don't worry, this is my longest point. I only have 8. Not really. So don't, verse 31, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. When you put God's kingdom first, look at that. Seek the kingdom, everybody say kingdom of God. When you put it first, he takes care of everything else. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. How do you know if you're passing the money test? Number one, don't worry. Don't worry. If you're worried that you're not passing the money test, you've already failed. Some of y'all will get that later. Don't worry. Trust God. Trust God. I really don't. Like, you can ask my wife. It's just true. I just don't worry about money because God is faithful if I am. Do you hear me? Second thing, you give cheerfully. Can you give cheerfully? Or do you give, but you give fearfully or begrudgingly because you feel like you have to? God doesn't like that. Not to him, not to other people. Nobody likes it when you give them a gift, but they can tell you really don't want to give them a gift. I'm giving this to you, but happy birthday. Off this stupid thing I gotta pitch in $5 for. God loves a cheerful giver. In fact, 2 Corinthians 9:7, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Look at verse 7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's a heart issue. Are you able to give cheerfully? And I want you to get this truth, write it down. The person who trusts in money can only give what they will not miss. They can't give sacrificially. Not without tremendous pain. The person who trusts in money can only give what they will not miss. What's the big test? Actually, I think it's the biggest blessing and the biggest test. It's tithing, which I think in the sum of our church, I've talked about maybe six times, maybe, in 12 years. That is such a huge issue for so many people. And I think at the root of it, the enemy sows seeds of condemnation and fear. Let me just tell you, God's not mad at you if you're not tithing. But you're keeping him from being able to bless you in a lot of areas of your life. That's just a truth that I've lived. I used to hate it when people would say, you can't outgive God. I thought, really? Until my wife and I gave some crazy things, like crazy big, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I really felt like the Lord told me to do it. Trust him. It was way more than tithing. It was like giving my future, both practically and financially, like zeroing bank accounts of a lot of money that we had made from flipping houses, not just like zero balance. The principle's so true though. It's the first and the best. Look what Malachi 3:10 says. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there'll be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I'll open the windows of heaven for you and I'll pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Then he says this, try it, put me to the test. And I'm not here to sow seeds of condemnation. I'm not looking through who gives and who doesn't give. Can I just tell you that I've lived this. I've lived it for years. My parents taught me this from this big. I watched my dad be unbelievably blessed because he gave cheerfully. My wife and I, it's a joy. Can I tell you, the principle of the tithe is this, faith. When I give the first, it's the first check that we write. It's the first. When I give the best, not knowing if any more is gonna come, my wife and I will be married 21 years in just a couple weeks. I cannot tell you how many times we wrote the check and we're like, well, if God doesn't show up, we're not paying the bills and maybe not even eating. Maybe the lights will stay on. We'll see. Every time he met us, amen. Put him to the test. Trust God. And let me just tell you, it is horrible to be enslaved to money. Give cheerfully. This is the test. How do you know if you are passing the money test? You don't worry. You give cheerfully. Here's the third thing, and it's the biggest thing, and we're wrapping up right now. So whoever's playing keys can come on out because I'm almost done. But if I have a point, this is the point. This is the point. This is what God gave me. This whole message, this is what God gave me. How do you know if you're passing the test? You are able to receive from God. You're able to receive from God. Jesus said this. It's better. We see this in Acts 20:35. We see that the Lord says, it's better to give than to receive. How many of y'all have heard that before? And people use it like a weapon. Better to give than to receive. Whip out the billfolds. We should have done the offering at the end of service. That'd have been better, right? No. Here's what I want you to get. If you can't receive from God, giving's always going to be painful. If you can't receive from God, giving is always going to be painful. I'm not here to make you feel bad because, well, Pastor must know that I haven't been. I don't know if you're giving or not, but I know this. If it hurts you to give, it's not because you don't want to. I firmly believe people want to give. They're so financially strapped and so burdened with a mortgage, which is Latin for mort, means death, and gauge means stranglehold. A mortgage on their home, a mortgage on their cars, a mortgage on furniture, on... Am I making sense here, guys? I believe you want to give. That's why it's so foundational that we recognize that we must first receive. And when we receive God's love, listen to me carefully. When we receive God's love, we are filled with faith because we realize how much he cares for us. He will take care of you when you receive from him. I'm a testament to this. I'm a walking testimony to this. God will take care of you. And it's not because you're good, it's because he is. Because I don't stand up here as the good guy. I stand up here as the idiot in many, many areas of my life. And I daily have to go through like all of these things. Lord, put a guard over my mouth. Lord, my hype and hyperbole, I know that they will hinder me, that my words will make or break me, that my pace will make or break me. I realize my shortcomings and my weakness. In spite of it all, God's good. And when I receive his goodness, it builds faith. When I receive his love, you know what else I get to receive? I can receive because I've encountered him. I've encountered God. Here, guess what I can receive? His promises. I can receive his promises. You know what else I can receive? His provision, because he takes care of me, because I'm his and I follow him. And here's the last thing. I can receive his people even when they hurt me, even when they stab me in the back, even when they lie at me. I can receive God's promises. I can receive his provision. I can receive his people, all because I've received his love. And because I've received his love, I realize he's my source. And money doesn't have a hold on me. Ask my wife. I live in a beautiful home. It's wonderful. It's a blessing from God. But I just, for fun, I go and sleep in a tent for days on end walking in the wilderness. It's just stuff. It all gonna burn up. Don't let it control you. Let's bow our heads. Maybe you're here and you know that this message is for you in the reception. Maybe you realize that you need to receive some things from God because you've got this world has a stranglehold on you. The economy of this world has a stranglehold on you. Maybe you're here and today is the day you need to receive God's love. That sounds so bad, but worry is simply a lack of faith because the root of worry is fear. The root of worry is fear. But today, I'm just firmly believe God is speaking to you. If you receive my love, if you receive me, you'll be able to trust me. The currency of the kingdom of God is faith. The currency of the economy of this world is fear and greed. May you operate in faith. Maybe today you're here and you're full of fear and worry. I want to pray for you. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, this worry just racks my body. It racks my mind. Come on, raise your hands. There's a lot of people y'all halfway raising. Don't be a halfway raiser. Raise them up. It's okay. Nobody's throwing stones at you. Most people are in the same boat. Father, I pray right now for those that are full of fear and doubt and worry. Lord, I just pray that today they receive from you. And I just want you, if your hand's raised, say right where you are, say, Lord, I receive your love. Say it. Come on. Father, we receive your love today. Lord, we receive the truth that you know us, you love us, you care for us. Lord, that your word says that you'll take care of us. We don't have a reason to worry because you are our source. May we surrender to you. You can put your hands down and maybe you're here and you've never surrendered to God. You've surrendered to fear. You've surrendered to the things of this world. But today God's knocking on the door of your heart and he's saying, surrender your life to me. Maybe that's you, and you need to surrender your life to him. The Bible says that your sins make a separation between you and God, but he loved you so much. It's John 3:16. God loved that he gave. He gave his son to come and bring life to you and to take death. Take that penalty of death for you. God loves you. Maybe you are here today and you know that he's knocking on the door of your heart. You need to surrender your life to him. I'm not gonna embarrass you, but I wanna pray with you right where you are. If that's you, just say, Pastor, that's me. Just raise your hand. Anybody here say, Pastor, that's me. I see you, thank you. Anybody else? Say, Pastor. Okay, let's all pray. Let's pray together. Say, dear God, I surrender my life to you. I give you all of me. I turn from my sin. I turn to you. I receive your forgiveness. My life is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God a hand? That's awesome. My heart for you is that you know money has no hold on you. Are you a good steward of it? Yes, we're gonna talk about that next week. Talk about wisdom and diligence on how we can take our dollars and use them to do some sensible things and biblically what that looks like. But if you're here and we're gonna wrap up in just a minute, if nobody would step out, I'd appreciate it. If you're here and God dealt with you today, here's what I'm gonna encourage you to do. As we dismiss, you go to the foot of these crosses that are on the wall. We have people there to pray with you. If you're dealing with something, we want to pray with you. That's our heart for you. Why don't you stand together? Did you have a good time this morning? Thank y'all. Man, I'm telling you, good things coming, good things coming. Father, I just pray blessing on everyone here today. I just pray that they are all able to receive from you, your word, your wisdom, and they walk in your ways. I pray blessing on them as they do that. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. God bless you. Y'all are dismissed. If you need prayer, go to the foot of the cross. God bless.